Some of the greatest blessings I've experienced through the years since I've been saved, when I was a teenager, is being able to go to revival meetings. And I remember my pastor and the revivals that we had after I got saved. I remember the men of God who came, and I can still see some of their faces, remember many of their names. They would come and they would preach the Word of God. And I remember how the Lord worked in my heart, gave me a hunger to understand the Word of God like they were preaching it, and to be able to take the Word of God and break it apart like they were teaching it. And the Lord really worked in my heart. And the preaching of those evangelists during those early days of my life and as a believer was formational to me. And through the years as a pastor, my heart has been blessed and challenged and helped during revival meetings. And this is one of those times that I've been blessed. Amen. And continue to be so. And the reason why is because of a man of God who will preach the Word of God. Amen. And so we're so very thankful for that. And it's a privilege for us to have Brother Danny and his wife Nancy with us this week. And looking forward to the message tonight. So Brother Danny, would you come and share with us what God has laid on your heart, brother?
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff and I have a lot in common, more than you would think. They say that when you start getting older, you start shrinking. I mean in height. If Brother Jeff and I live to be 100 years of age, they'll be able to bury us in a thimble. But I enjoy the fellowship with Brother Jeff and Teresa. Thank you, church, for allowing me to be here this week. It's been a blessing to Nancy and I. We have a lot going on at Milldale. And Nancy and I also have 9 grandchildren. And we stay very busy. And this has been a time when we could come aside and be together just about all day long and fellowship with you folks. And thank you for that, Brother Jeff. I appreciate this church allowing me to bring Nancy with me. Now, I'd be hard to handle if she weren't here, because she keeps me straight. Thank you for the food. I was on a diet when I came here. I will resume the diet when I get home. The food has been good, and thank you so much for preparing the food. I remember Dr. Vance Havener. You can tell he's one of my favorite preachers of the past. He was telling about being in a meeting, I think in the Chicago area, and he was there with one of the singers of the day, did the meeting with them. And the singer got up to thank the church for all the meals that they had prepared. And this was the last night, probably Friday night, and the singer said, "Especially, I want to thank the ladies that prepared the meal Monday night." He said, "I can still taste it." Now, that was supposed to be a compliment. But thank you so much. You've been so hospitable to us. And we've enjoyed being in a different place this week. Hearing the music, Nancy just leaned over to me and said, "For that size of a choir, they really have a real good sound." And you do. And I thank the Lord for the music that you do. And I know that you've got a good director, a good teacher. Before I get into the message tonight, Brother Jason, a while ago, was playing my favorite hymn. I've just got to read the words to you. My voice is so bad, I'd not attempt to sing. I'm coughing so much, but it's number 405. "My faith has found a resting place." The writer says this: "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through His blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me, His precious blood He shed. For me, His life He gave. And the refrain says this, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Just a few Sundays ago, well, Easter Sunday actually, I was preaching on the cross and the resurrection. I like the part when Mary comes to the tomb to visit and the angels are there. And she doesn't realize who they are. And the angel asks the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? Our God lives this evening. And I like to think that they're leaning over the banisters of heaven, cheering us.
Amen.
You'll have to excuse me. I've had a lot of thoughts going through my mind today after that message on grace last night. I take the grace of God for granted too much. He's good to us. God is good all the time. My dad was a man of God. He was a prayer warrior. He knew how to get a hold to the throne of heaven. When we were going through difficulty as a missionary family, my dad wouldn't reach out to people. He would reach out to the Father. Amen. And the reason I believe so deeply in prayer now is because I saw God answer prayer. When I was a boy, even a lost teenager, I saw God answer prayer. And God answered my folks' prayer in saving my soul and the rest of my siblings. I was thinking today, my dad prayed so much for my sister that I told you about. She has a granddaughter that comes from just a terrible family. My niece has been on drugs for years. She's got three beautiful girls. I mean just strikingly beautiful. The oldest one went to a youth camp invited by a friend this past summer. And the Lord saved her. She is on fire for the Lord. She will not miss church. She goes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She's got my ex-brother-in-law going to church at times, which is a miracle. I'm telling you, a miracle. And I was thinking today, my old dad's probably in heaven rejoicing over answered prayer of Rayleigh, my niece and his granddaughter. The Lord is good. I woke up this morning and went out and did my walking and just talking to the Lord and praising Him for the beauty of the day. Lord, You blessed us. You don't have to give us these beautiful days, but You blessed us for the beauty of the day. And You blessed this area with a victory last night. You knew I was going to get that in, didn't you? And I'm hopeful for you that the girls win tonight and Louisville will make history. I want you to open your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. This is the account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and the crowds greeting him with Hosanna in verse 9 to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they rejoiced. This is that religious crowd. They were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. The house of God. For you theologians here tonight, I want you to know that I know in preaching this message that this is just a building. Really, the temple of God in the dispensation of grace is our bodies. We are the temple of God. We forget that as saints of God so much of the time. This is God's temple. It does not belong to us. But in a real sense, in a physical sense, this is God's house. This building has been sanctified, which means to be set apart for one purpose. Brother Jeff mentioned it while ago. For one purpose, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. To come in this place and collectively to worship Him. This service this evening is not about us. It does include us. Our needs should be met here, but this service tonight is about lifting up the Lord Jesus. And that's why we should come to church. I'm amazed, confounded, angered about what all is going on in the name of Christianity across our land today. And I'm not going to linger on that. I'm not here to be judgmental, but I am a fruit inspector. And I'll tell you, a lot that's going on in the name of Christendom today has nothing to do with the church of God.
That's right. Amen.
And I think that all across this country, we need a revival.
Yes.
We need a revival in our churches.
Amen.
Because there is something that is dreadfully missing. And I pray to God by faith that every Sunday when I go to Milldale Baptist Church, I pray that it may be the day, Brother Jeff, that God sits down upon us in supernatural revival. I'm not talking about something man-sent. I'm talking about something heaven-sent that we cannot fabricate, that we cannot work up. It must come down from heaven by a sovereign act of God. I am encouraged that we will soon have revival. You say, Brother Danny, what do you say about that? Times are so bleak and they're so dim. It's always been in the dark times when God sent revival. Did you know there hasn't really been a revival in the United States in a long time? In the 50s and 60s, God moved across the Southland in revival. I'm glad to say that I was a part of some of those meetings. And I'm not just talking about one meeting. I'm talking about a widespread revival where God moved down. Do you want me to tell you what's missing in our churches? I'll tell you what's missing in our churches. It's the same thing that was missing in Israel in the Old Testament much of the time. It is the glory of God. Amen. When the glory of God comes, there is conviction of sin. When the glory of God comes, there is brokenness. When the glory of God comes, the Holy Spirit makes sure that the living Christ is lifted up in our hearts. When the glory of God comes, there is hunger in the hearts of the saints of God. There's not much of a hunger across this land, even among Christians, just to see God move. But you see, I was born in the fire and I cannot live in the smoke.
Right. Amen.
I can't. I thank the Lord for churches like this one. You have a unique situation here. I don't know whether you know it or not, but there is a touch of the Spirit of God on your services. Now, you probably don't recognize that because you have the same struggles that most churches have. But I want to tell you something. I think it's because of the people that are here and the pastor that God has put here in this church. Because you have a heart for God. And I want to speak to you tonight of what should go on in God's house. And just glean from this passage a few thoughts. First of all, Jesus said it. My house shall be called what? A house of prayer. You know, he could have said, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, I want you to know that I'm repeating myself. I am getting old, but I want you to know that I am being redundant tonight. He could have said, my house shall be called a house of preaching. Now that's important. He could have said, my house shall be called a house of singing. Now that's important. That takes place in God's house. But the first thing Jesus said to those that were making merchandise in the temple, he said, my house is to be called and is to be a house of prayer. Something we are not doing enough of in this 21st century is praying. I don't know about your church. I don't know about your prayer meetings and all. But in our church, the prayer meeting is the least attended service in the church on Wednesday night. But I want to tell you, we have some of the sweetest services on Wednesday night. Because the folks that are there mean business for God. They come to get a hold to the throne of the altar. I had a pastor friend of mine telling me, he said, I just had to quit the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I had to start doing teaching on Wednesday night because people just quit coming. I didn't have but just a handful on Wednesday night. Shame on us. It's to our shame that we are not praying more. I've already lost some of you. But I want to tell you something. I believe in prayer.
Amen.
I preached a message on prayer in a Bible conference. And one of those young theologians, with all of his degrees that I found out about, he told me about them, said to me, "Brother Danny, I believe we can get to the place to where we pray too much." And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, I think you're wrong." He said, "Well, don't you believe that some people spend too much time on their knees and they're not out working for God?" I said, "Young man, the people that are spending their time on their knees are the ones that are working for God." I remember in the piney woods of East Texas, when my dad pastored in those churches, I remember one in particular in Jasper, Texas. The Lord just really came down in revival in that church. It was just a little church, probably ran about 60 people. My dad, he was one of those people persons. He would be out in the community witnessing to everyone he came in contact with. He believed in soul winning. And he loved people, and they knew that. And that was an attraction for them to come to church. And we had a revival meeting. And the evangelist for the revival was a young, handsome, dark-headed young man from East Texas Baptist College. His name was Manly Beasley. And he came to our church and he began to preach the word of God. And in those days, we went from Sunday to Sunday. And if the Lord was moving, they would go on for another week. Well, I remember that my dad's friends, his pastor friends would come to that meeting, and before church and after church, they would have a prayer meeting. Now, it would upset some of you the way they prayed. I remember that Brother Manley, my dad, Brother Harold Brown, I don't remember all of the men, but I do remember those three. They would get in the church, the empty church house, early in the afternoon, and they would spend time in prayer. They would be walking up and down the aisles. All of them would be praying. There'd be about six or eight of them. They'd be praying, everyone at the same time. I was wondering who God was listening to. And my mother would send me. I was about 7 years old. I remember this just specifically. I would ease my way into the auditorium to tell the men that it was time for supper. And we had the swinging doors like you do, but ours squeaked a lot. And my dad could tell, and he would always come back and say, "Son, we'll be ready for supper in just a moment." She would send me out behind the house in the woods where they were praying after the services for God to move. But you know, we feel like that we don't need that today. I would rather be in a good prayer meeting than a good church service. I love to get with men and women of God that know how to pray and just pray. There's two ladies in our church. God's taken both of them home. They were both intercessors. Mrs. Hornsby. Brother Jeff, I spent many years at Milldale. About 35 years on staff. Most of those under the leadership of Brother Jimmy Robertson. But there would be days when I would be discouraged. And I would sometime during the day make my way to Ms. Hornsby's house or Miss Lena Parton's house. And we would, before I left, get in a prayer meeting. And those two ladies, you've heard people pray like this. I can't describe it. But they knew how to just lift you up into the heavenlies. It was like heaven would come down in those rooms. And when I would leave the presence of those two ladies, I would be rejoicing. Prayer. Do you believe what Jesus said here is true? My house shall be called a house of prayer. I hope I haven't lost you. Back in 1966, at Milldale Baptist Church, Brother Jimmy had a young Scotsman come in to preach our Bible conference. His name was Dr. James Alexander Stewart. Just a very small man with that strong Scottish brogue. He had walked across Europe during World War II, evangelizing Europe. God had used him in revival in many places in Czechoslovakia and other places in Europe. And Brother Jimmy just felt led to write him a letter while he was in Europe and asked Dr. Stewart to come to Milldale. Before he received the letter, he said to his American wife, Mrs. Ruth Stewart, he said to her, "Ruth, in just a short while, we're going to receive a letter from America." He said, we're going somewhere in the South to preach the Word of God. He had never been to America. He got to Asheville, North Carolina, where they flew in that area because he had friends there, and boarded a bus to go somewhere in the South before he came to Milldale. And the bus out in the country passed a church, and it had a big banner, revival. And Dr. Stewart had the bus driver, "Stop the bus, stop the bus." The bus driver didn't know what to do, so he stopped the bus. And Dr. Stewart got off, and he was so excited, he went up to the parsonage, knocked on the door. And the pastor came to the door, and he said, "Oh, brother, where is the revival? I want to be involved in the revival." And the pastor said, "Well, sir, it doesn't start until 7 o'clock. You didn't get it." That's a true story. But he came to Milldale, and Nancy is my witness. That man would stand in the pulpit, a very simple preacher. He was not a great orator, but Brother Jeff, he would leave some 600 or 700 people, sometimes 1,000 there. He would lead us in a prayer meeting. I've never been anything like it. And I feel that the Lord wants me to share this tonight. I don't do this many places that I go. But one night in the service, Dr. Stewart got up in the pulpit and he said, "I am not preaching this evening. The Lord is here." He said, "We all need to just bow in prayer." And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to describe it exactly because you wouldn't understand. You'd think we're charismatic. But I want to tell you, the Lord flooded that place. People were on their face before God. And 2 hours went by. And we did not even know it. That's what I'm speaking about. We're afraid of that in our Baptist churches. After that conference, Dr. Stewart went on to preach somewhere else in the South. He did come back several times to Milldale. But for 6 weeks, Brother Jeff, for 6 weeks after that conference, about 6:30 or 7 o'clock every evening, people would, without an invitation, begin to meet at the church. It was amazing. They would just show up. Now, back in those days, Brother Jimmy preached a lot of meetings. He was gone a lot of the time. But we would come in the church and there would be a spirit of prayer in the church. There wouldn't be a lot of talking going on, and there's nothing wrong with greeting one another. I'm going to tell you, let's don't fabricate anything. Let's just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with greeting one another and having a good time at church. But in those days, there was a spirit of prayer, and we would come in, even the teenagers. God had so changed us, done a work in our heart. There was one young lady, I remember, got under such conviction because just a few weeks prior to that, she had smoked one cigarette and got under conviction, had to go to her parents and tell them, I've sinned. I smoked a cigarette or tried to. I won't tell you, but she's sitting here tonight. So I had to say that she committed one sin in her life for sure. But Nancy will verify this. The Lord just moved in our church. It spread to the community. Every night, we begin to meet. And it seemed like every night, Brother Greg, it was different. We had a quartet in our church back in those days. And I remember one evening we came in, and they just were up there singing. And there was a spirit of just lifting our voices in praise one evening. And we would never leave without a prayer meeting. We might be 10 or 10:30 getting out. No one was in a hurry. It was blessed days of prayer. I was thinking of those days today. Again, I'm under conviction. Oh, the sweetness of being in the presence of God. The rest from labor. The rest from stress. The energy that the Holy Spirit gives. To edify our gifts to the church. My house, said the Lord Jesus, shall be the house of prayer. And you know he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. You can jot it down. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. You know, I was thinking of the Lord Jesus today. Brother Manly Beasley used to preach that Jesus, when he was here on earth, acted and did everything according to the will of God as a man full of the Spirit of God. I believe that. Oh yes, he was all God, but listen, he was all man too. He was in the flesh. I don't mean that in a bad way. He had a body. And Jesus, much of the time, you can find him stealing away from his disciples even, stealing away from the crowd in order to be refreshed in prayer and speak to the Father and find guidance for the days ahead and for the work of the Father. You say, Brother Danny, I'm just a layman. I'm just a housewife. I'm not that important in the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, you are. God has called you to intercede and to pray for the ministry here that he has placed you in. I had a young man in our church call me yesterday afternoon before. He said, Brother Danny, I don't want to bother you. I know you're getting ready to go to church, but he said, I just wanted to call you and tell you, you've been on my heart today. I've been praying for you all day long. Brother Luther Price, I told you, called me saying, I've been praying for you, Brother Danny. I'm praying for the meeting there. My pastor, Brother Jimmy Robertson, who will always be my pastor, said to me 2 days ago, he said, Brother Danny, we're praying for you. We're praying for the meeting. You know, if we would do less talking about people and more praying for them, I think we'd be a lot further down the road spiritually. Amen. My house shall be called a house of prayer. I jotted down this. Sometimes I just jot down sentences to read to the church. True prayer is an evidence of our dependence on God and faith in His Word. That's what prayer is. When we don't pray, it's a lack of faith. When we don't pray, it's a lack of dependence on God Himself. My goodness, you're going to have to listen faster. I believe the house of God is a house where people are being helped. You did read that. He said it's a house of prayer for all people. In verse 14 he said, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. Now we do not have the powers that God had. I do not understand healing. I stand to you today, tonight, saying that I am a preacher that does not understand the will of God in healing. For I've seen in my ministry God reach and touch and heal people from cancer. I've seen God heal people from terminal diseases. But I've also seen many go on out into eternity, most of them saints of God, because it was time for them to go home. I believe that God has vehicles to take us out of this world and get us into the next world. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I do not fear dying, but I don't like suffering. I mean, God knows that. I want to go like my dad went. Oh, he and my mom had just left our house. I just talked to him 30 minutes before on the phone. And they lived in Texas. They had driven home. And they had a pool in their backyard, one of those raised pools. And off their back porch, they could walk straight out of their back porch into the pool. And they did it for exercise. They walked in that pool. My dad was talking to my mom, and he was leaning on the side of the pool, and he just pushed back, and his face went down in the pool. And my mother thought he was playing a prank on her, because he was a prankster at time. And she said, Edward, you need to get up. She tells the story. And she realized that there was a problem, and she went over and she picked him up out of the water, Brother Jeff. And Nancy will be my witness. My mother said he had a smile on his face. But she knew that he was gone. She hollered for the neighbor who was out in the yard. And he came over and helped get my dad out of the pool. And they began to do CPR on him. But he was in heaven. He would have been mad if he had had to come back. I can tell you. That's the way I want to go. For Nancy to wake up one morning and I'll be in glory. She didn't like that. It's a house where people are helped. This is a place where the pulpit ought to be used to preach the Word of God. Where the truth of God's Word is preached. And you people ought to thank God every day for the pastor He's given you. Because he preaches the Word of God. You're blessed. I tell people all the time, if you're in a place where the Word of God is not preached, you need to find a church where you can hear the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, but Brother Danny, my family has been here for many years. Aunt Sookie is buried out there in the cemetery. And I say to them, dig her up and take her with you. You know, we allow things to hold us places where God's not there. Move on. And I'm not telling any of you to leave this church. But we need to be in a place where the Word of God is preached. There are many places across America where the Word of God is not even touched upon. As far as the truth of the gospel. And nothing else will help people. I'm telling you, every problem is a spiritual problem. And it can be remedied through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the work of God in people's hearts. It's a place where people can be helped. I've been helped this week. There could have been some better preaching, but I've been helped. You know, it's not just the preaching of the Word of God that helps me. It's just being in a place where God can be felt and known. You say, Brother Danny, we don't live by our feelings. No, but I like it when the manifested presence of God can be sensed and felt.
Yes.
We are emotional beings. I'm excitable. I'm like a roller coaster. I like Brother Jeff. He's just even keeled, you know. Nothing upsets him. But I'm like a roller coaster like this. But you know, sometimes I like that, Brother Jeff, because boy, I get on the top shelf and I fall off a lot. But I'm going to tell you, I like to be in a place like this evening. I just feel the presence of God in this place. It's easy to preach. It's easy to sing. It's easy to rejoice because the power of God is here. You can tell when God is there because people are ministered to and the Lord is edified. The church is edified and God is lifted up. He said, I know this is meant from the cross, but if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Our churches ought to have enough power of God that when a sinner comes in and sits in this place, they should fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. His power. There's a demonstration of conviction. There's a demonstration of deliverance. I believe people need help. I believe drug addicts need to go to a place where they can be helped. But the greatest place of help is in God's house. It's in God's house. You know, we become so selfish. We come to be blessed. But you know, we had some members leave just a couple of weeks ago. Precious young couple. And their gripe was, we want to go somewhere where they have more for the children. And that's good. I think we ought to minister to our children. I do. But we have things that minister to the children. I don't know what their problem is. I love them to death. They're friends. But we're selfish. We ought not come to church and say, I want to see what the church can do for me. We ought to come to church saying, what can I contribute to the worship service today? It's a house where God receives praise. Did y'all see that there? Now, I know I preached on praise last time I was here. I do remember that. Some of you didn't see that, did you? I want you to look at it. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. They were praising the Lord. Hosanna means save, we pray. Now, it became a custom in praising the Lord not to use this phrase, as this word, as a prayer, but as a praise to the Lord. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 40. When Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and I'm going to read a portion of this verse. Well, let's just read. Let me turn there right quick. Look at verse 36. As he went, they spread their clothes in the ways coming into Jerusalem. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, the work of God, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples, religious crowd again, And he answered, Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace and not praise me, the stones would immediately rise up and begin to rejoice in the Lord. I heard someone preach on this, and there was a man out in the congregation, and he wrote a song while the preacher was preaching. The name of that song, and I've never heard it until he sang it that night, and I hadn't heard it since. But the name of it was, Ain't No Stone Gonna Take My Place. I thought that was very good. Praise. Hebrews 13:5. By him, Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise. My dad would get more excited than me. He was a shouter. He loved to praise the Lord. I mean, if a song touched his heart, you knew about it. If someone was preaching and it touched his heart, I mean, the congregation knew about it. He was that type of person. He was not a show-off. He had a humble spirit. But I'm going to tell you, he knew how to praise God. He told the story, my dad, many years ago in his preaching, of a black lady was praying for her husband to be saved. Her husband would get drunk and come home on the weekends and beat her and the children. It was an awful situation. One day, the preacher came by and witnessed to him. Won him to the Lord. He got saved. He was at church the next Sunday and they baptized him. And he just began to rejoice in the Lord. And he got to make a spectacle of himself at church. So they sent a committee out to see him one afternoon. And he was out in the field plowing. And he was down at the end of the turn row. You youngsters don't even know what that is. Plowing that old mule. And he started coming back and he saw the gentleman from the church there. And he just began to raise his hands and praise the Lord. And he got to the end and he said, praise God, gentlemen, it's good to see you today. Isn't the Lord good? And they said, well, brother, we came to talk to you about, you know, you're just disturbing. You're disturbing the church services. I mean, the pastor can't preach without you beginning to shout and praise the Lord. And the old black gentleman began to weep. And he said, well, you see, I gets to thinking about all that the Lord has done for me. He said, I think about when I used to come home drunk and beat my wife and my children. And he said, I get to thinking about how good God has been to me since I've been saved, and the way that he has blessed me and my family. And he said, I get to thinking about his grace. And he said, hold this mule while I shout. And that's supposed to be a true story. And I want to tell you, when you think about what God's done for you, you want to just lift a hand to heaven. I know all of us are different. We praise him in different ways. But I want to say to you tonight, there ain't no stone going to take my place. There's some things that should go on in God's house. And I know I've preached a long time tonight, but it's a message of encouragement. Keep on keeping on with the Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your mercy, your grace. I thank you for your providence, God. of how you allowed me to be born in the Gregg family, where I'd be fed the Word of God and the gospel till one day I came to you to save me. I think of the wonderful men of God I've heard preach through the years. Think of the wonderful friends you've given me. I thank you for letting me have a taste of revival. Thank you for my family, my wife, my two sons, my grandchildren. I thank you for this week, Lord, that has done so much for me. Most of all tonight, I thank you that you're my God and you're my Savior. Think of the awesome, terrible price that you paid that I might have salvation. Lord, I praise you tonight because you live. And right now, your ear is bent to hear the prayers and the praise and the worship of the saints of God. We praise you this evening. We want your name to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified in this place. What we think does not matter in the light of eternity if our thoughts are not on you. Lord, as I have preached and as I pray this evening, I know that there are needs in this place. And your house is a place where needs are met. Will you be gracious to us tonight? Will you meet those needs? Lord, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do for us this evening what we cannot do for ourselves. We'll be careful, oh so careful, to give you praise and glory for everything that you do.
Well, the altar's open tonight. Jason just